For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Ken Carmen, folks.
Hi.
What's going on,
doing?
Ken?
I'm with my sons today, and I'm giving them a taste. I'm giving Jonah his first taste. Axel, he's a big Browns fan, and he's taking it all in. He's got football practice later on today, and so hopefully he won't be thinking about getting on an exercise bike later on today. He's going to participate in full practice later on.
Is that – he's usually on the exercise bike? Is that what you're saying?
No, not – he tried – his mom tried to put him on there last Friday just because I wasn't going to be there, and I said, nope, get him to practice. I don't care. That's the way it worked. Hi, everybody.
An inside look into living with Ken Carmen. There
yes.
you go.
It's good to see you. It's good to see the marble mouth of Crawford County. How you doing?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day out here.
It is.
You know, it'll stink when we can't enjoy days like this on football Sundays, though, right, when there's a dome stadium overhead.
Okay, that's – come on. We're right here. I mean, you got people walking around. You're going to say that right now and make everybody upset? Who are you, Chris Ronayne? What are we doing here?
Well, so it's I told Keith before the show, we have the clip for later on, of you and Lima talking about it this morning. I actually thought your point on driving in on Saturday mm-hmm. was pretty profound. Like, now that you know what's kind of waiting on the other side.
I didn't know any different.
Yeah.
So when you don't know any different, then there was no reason to complain. I'm just happy to be there. Like, that's all true. But when you get an idea of what it could be, yeah, then you start noticing some of the stuff with the ingress and the egress. Of course, you got to have both of those, marble mouth. Spencer, you got to have those. And so you start to notice, like, what's good and what's not so good about it. And you're like, man, yeah, I guess I could see it in a different light and see all the experiences that we could possibly have at a new – I say down there, but now it's, like, up there because it's up the road. It would be up the road. And you start to see some of the possibilities of what it could be. And so it's hard not to start imagining. It's hard to not start imagining of it. And I likened it to, you start looking at a new car, all of a sudden your old car ain't going to look so good.
Yeah.
Ain't going to look so good. And that's kind of where I think a lot of people are when they saw the look of the new of a possible new roof facility, that if you see something like that, then things change.
Well, it's not, you know, when you see something like that too, because we're not used to that in Northeast Ohio, especially. Like, to see something like that potentially come into Northeast Ohio,
yeah,
it's hard not to be infatuated with it.
Yeah.
But we obviously had the press conference today. We'll play you a little bit of that later on in the show as well. But the county sent that letter yesterday basically saying, yeah, we're not in support of the team moving out of downtown. It's just
– do we have an on-air host – that is not in support of moving out of downtown?
I don't think so. I think we all are.
Is anybody willing to make that stand? Because I've said before, like, hey, man, if you want to stay downtown for either tax use purposes, or, you know, I'll listen a little bit to the tradition, but it doesn't go as far, I'll still try to respect opinions there because I don't want to be nasty about it. I you know, they've been on the lakefront, what, about that stadium? There's been a football field there of some sort for 90 years.
Yeah.
So I can respect the positions, but I can also look about what the future is and see that, yeah, I think that probably by the time my squeakers graduate high school, I said by the time Izzy Lima graduates high school, I can imagine there being 2022 stadiums that are domed in the NFL.
I think that's hard. I mean, I think all these teams are seeing the benefits of that. We know Cincinnati's dealing with something similar right now where they're trying to talk about what they're going to do. And to all the arguments that have been made in this instance – you get a dome, you probably get at least one Super Bowl, and it's just about all the other things that you can bring into the area. And that's why I find the war of words, if you will, has gotten very just cumbersome.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating from an outside perspective because you're like, guys, I just have a hard time understanding how everybody can't see, like, the outside benefit of all this. You know what I mean? Like, that's the frustrating thing.
Yes, and you mentioned Super Bowl. I think that that's why there's the entire concept of what is around the stadium that you see in the video, that you see all the hotels, you see all the buildings and things like that. Because one of the things that have always been said is, well, we don't have the hotel space for a Super Bowl. We don't, and that's always been said by general fans. And I said, well, when you add in Akron and Canton and so on and so forth. Well, that's still February, and the weather around here is not too great in February.
Right.
So you want to make it very convenient, and I think that that's part of what the planning was. Now, I don't have any sources on me to say something like that, but I really think that that was part of what the planning was. And, again, it looks outstanding in a lot of ways, so we'll see where it goes. I think that in a lot of ways the letter that was released yesterday, which was, what, right around the deadline for the August 12th deadline.
Yeah.
There's points there, but at the same time, I really think it should probably go in the direction.
Well, it seemed like they were really leaning into the tradition thing like you brought up. Like, their whole point was like, well, the Browns are the heart and soul of downtown Cleveland.
Well, we can talk tradition, yeah, but we also have to talk about moving forward and being able to make enticements for businesses and for people to stay and for people to move here and be a part of that. And I know that I've heard a lot of, you know, I don't know them like Lima does, but I know enough movers and shakers to know that they've been talking about developing lakefront property for a very long period of time. Well, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. And I do think that the powers that be in the city would still like to develop that land and probably use it for something other than a stadium. So I do think that some of this is some tough talk, but I think it'll get done in the end.
I do, too. And I think one of the biggest holdups right now is just, like, from both perspectives. I think the Browns don't want to just, like, because, listen, they rolled that out last week. How do you not just end that letter being like, this is what we're doing? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they still ended it with the, well, but we haven't made a final decision yet. We spent all this money to get renderings and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to the Browns don't want to just abruptly do something that then they get accused of taking the Browns away.
Well,
but I think the city is also like, we don't want to get blamed for losing the Browns again. But I just think that whole argument is, like, so silly to me. Because the one thing, like, I understand, like, you know, billionaire owners, people aren't always going to sympathize with those people. But at the same time, like, the one thing the Haslams have never done this entire process is say, you know, hey, San Antonio's looking to maybe out of foot. You know what I mean? Like, they've never pointed another place. It's always been Northeast Ohio. We want to stay here. The land they're building on or would build on was at one point Cleveland land. And it obviously, once the Ford plant closed, it gave it up and it went to Brook Park. But it's like, so it's 15 minutes down the road. You know what I mean? Like, I just think, I wish we could get through all the political BS and just kind of, like, all understand this is for the betterment of Northeast Ohio. And I do think that's what largely, like you said, all the hosts at the station feel that way, I think. And I've, to your point on showing up to the stadium on Saturday, I think a lot of fans have swayed that direction too. Because early on in this conversation, it was a lot of, well, tradition, like we've talked about, tradition. It's always been downtown. I like to play it in the elements. That's very Cleveland. Like, you saw Mike Florio tweeting out yesterday about, you know, Cleveland playing football in a indoor stadium is like putting a steak in the microwave. But, like, I think slowly but surely more and more people have been like, yeah, this is the way to go.
Well, I think people like Mike Flora, and I respect his opinion. I think he looks at it, and he's a Pittsburgh guy, but I think he looks at Midwest cities like they should kind of know their role and stay in their place. And I don't think that if there's something that's better that's possible, then I think that they should possibly explore that. Because I tell you, with David Gilbert here, there's a lot that goes on that makes Cleveland a enticing place to have an event. And I think that David Gilbert's proven that here over the last decade or so. But now, and I think Lima said it, or maybe Daryl had said it earlier this morning, we're kind of out of events now. We've had the Women's Final Four.
Yeah, that was a good point this morning.
You know, we've had the RNC. We've had a lot of things going on. So you're kind of out of the events that you can host for another 10 to 15 years before, okay, we can start to get an All-Star game back in the NBA and Major League Baseball All-Star game and be a part of that conversation. So now you got to kind of look for what's to the future. And so I think you can do something on two fronts here. You could still be a destination that people want to go to for a sporting event or for a big event, and that can be done with a new stadium. And, you know, we talk about brain drain, and this is big time, big brain type of conversations that people have. We talk about brain drain and losing people with degrees to other cities that were raised here, that might have went to school here at Cleveland State or JCU or somewhere else.
I see what you did there.
Case.
Huh?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. But in all honesty, you want to keep those people in the area.
Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of powers that be have talked about for a long period of time. Now, I know I'm used to just making fart jokes on the air, but that's a true statement here, is that you got to make sure that you're able to keep the diplomas, you're able to keep the degrees, you're able to keep the powers of the white collars there, so then you can have some of the blue collar stick around here. It has to be a situation that people want to be attracted to. And I think that, yeah, we've had football on the lakefront for 90 years, and I respect the tradition. Obviously, I'm a Browns fan, but I also see that there could be a future and maybe even a bigger future for downtown. But we'll see again where it goes. If they make a new stadium on the lakefront, I think it's going to be a teeth-pulling type of process for everybody. But I'll still obviously look forward to what it could be done. But still, I see nothing that looks better than what we could see at Brook Park someday.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely make Cleveland a destination for years to come for events and is tourists and everything. Ken, you were on the sideline on Saturday. What did what stood out to you about the Browns in what I thought was a pretty boring game overall, but there was a few things that stood out.
Well, I was happy. I thought the defense did not move the way that a Jim Schwartz defense would move around. I think a lot of guys got caught standing around. I think some guys got caught maybe being a little bit nervous, but I also know that there was only four of the 22 guys who are listed as starters playing in that football game back on Saturday. I like that Mike Hall Jr. was very violent with his hands and very quick. That was one of the, I think, relieving things for a lot of Browns fans, as he saw 51 a whole bunch. Jawan Briggs kind of stood out to everybody. He was a draft pick. I watched him again yesterday.
Good story,
a couple of
too.
Times. And the best thing, not just the shameless plug for NFL Plus, even though I don't even like endorse it or anything, unpaid testimonial, is that they already had the All 22 and then the full broadcast. So I was watching the full broadcast, and then I got to see.
Wait, how soon after the game they put that up?
It was right after.
Wait,
it
really?
Was like, it was
is
at least
new
on Sunday
year?
Morning. At
is
least
that
it was
new
on,
this year?
I have no idea.
Because usually they, I feel like during
Tuesdays.
The season you have to wait till Tuesday.
Yeah, but I think maybe just because it's preseason.
They don't care. Yeah.
And so they're like, here you go. You're going to see something vanilla anyway.
You're just going to see some cover two and you know, the same screenplay that the Browns ran over and over again.
Mamu Diabate flew to the ball, liked him. Again, Brady Breeze tried to show up and I think tried to flash on tape. And I don't blame him for trying to make plays.
I heard you're a big Brady Breeze fan.
Well, according to Darryl, I was for reasons I'm not even gonna recognize. I mean, his name does sound like an old WCW jobber. But either way, he tried to flash a little bit. Again, Mamu Diabate played very well, I thought. A couple of other guys kind of stood out on offense. The wide receivers, I think they smell an opportunity here with wide receivers 5 through maybe 7, depending on what Kevin Stefanski wants to keep because of special teams. So if you have up to 7 wide receivers here, this is an opportunity for Amarian Brown, the young kid, or for Jamari Thrash, the kid who is a Senior Bowl standout for a lot of folks in the practices and the whatnot, out of Louisville, to be able to show what he can do. And a lot of people keep talking about the big body of Matt Landers and the possibilities with him as a big body target. So you got receivers 1 through 4 basically set up. Now you got to figure out who could be 5 through 6 or even 7. Jalen Darden is going to have a conversation about that. I think that James Prochet is going to be a part of that conversation too, because I know he's a returner, but what are you going to do there in terms of putting extra guys on in that room and taking other guys out of other rooms? It's a bigger decision than what I think people realize here because of the new kickoff rule and what they want to do. I saw several different setups throughout the game on Saturday, not just based on, I think some of it obviously was based on depth chart, but I think some of it was based on, all right, let's see what maybe a couple extra tight ends give us. Let's see what some wide receivers give us.
Yeah, I feel like the wide receiver room is a fascinating one to follow, I think, throughout all camp, just because, like you said, more 11 personnel this year and with Dorsey's sort of imprints on the offense and more reason to have more wide receivers out there, and how that impacts other areas too. You know, running back room, how many guys you're going to keep, defensive line, how many guys you're going to keep, I think would be fascinating. Ken, you gonna let your boys run the 40 out here?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want to go over there and sweat. I don't want to stand there and wait for him in line. So they're not gonna run the 40. Can I? I heard
you don't get a VIP pass for being Ken Carmen.
You no. Do you think I'm gonna go see it? What for the 40-yard dash? No, this is for the fans. This is for the fans. Can I say something? I hear Kayla Cole, John, one of the most wonderful people in Cleveland radio.
She's great.
One of the most wonderful people.
We
and
love
she
Kayla.
Can hear me now, and she knows that I mean what I'm saying. She's absolutely outstanding, and we love her here at The Fan. We love you, Spencer.
You don't mean that.
I do, 100%.
Okay.
Look at my fingers. There's no crossing fingers.
I was going to say, well, maybe your toes, but if you don't need to take your shoes off.
If you want
to
share that Bob Feller take later on, I'd be very appreciative of you, so
I'll
I can rip you,
know, you
in the morning
I'll
for
let
it.
You know when I get to it.
All right, because that was certainly something over the weekend.
I think you misunderstood what I was saying.
I hope I misunderstood what you were saying, because that was a pretty wild experience there.
The great Ken Carmen joining us here on the show to start things off. Ken, we appreciate you stopping by. I'll let you know if that Bob Feller take comes up. You can stop back over.
Appreciate you, friend. Have a great afternoon.
You too. We'll be right back, guys. We got a lot of stuff planned. Juan Thornhill, had a chance to catch up with him before practice to play that interview. And some other guests that are going to pop on by. We'll talk to Daryl at some point. We'll see if he's still as fiery as he was in the morning show. Keep it locked. It's Afternoon Drive. Spencer German filling in for the guys here on 92 Through the Fan.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And the fact that the county's kind of now balking at it, even though Brook Park remains in Cuyahoga County and they would still see the benefits of this one, is just kind of an unnecessary roadblock in my mind to preventing, I guess, progress from happening in this area. And like I said with Ken, like, say people can say what they want about the owners of the team, of any team, because I understand, like, billionaire owners, not a lot of sympathy from a fan base of, you know, middle class to, you know, lower class, upper class people who support a team. For people with that who live in that tax bracket, but at the same time, they have never once. And part of that probably is part of the, you know, the history of this team and the fact that it was moved at one point. Like, all right, they don't want to necessarily even have to put that out there and make people feel uncomfortable and have those uncomfortable conversations. But I along those lines, like, they have never once even floated the idea of moving the team out of Northeast Ohio. Where they would move and that's the thing, that's the, I think, the narrative that I think bothers me the most is the people, whether it's, you know, county and city representatives who are trying to put this idea out there that they're taking the Browns away from Cleveland. That, like, it's 15 minutes down the road on land, as I noted, that used to belong to Cleveland. Like, this wouldn't be a problem anywhere else except here, because people can't see the forest with the trees on this, and they're so tied to this idea that the team has always played downtown. I'm here to tell you, like, growing up in Western New York, I went to plenty of Bills games growing up. I covered that team for several years. Like, the stadium's in Orchard Park, and nobody thinks anything of it. It's just, they know that's where they go for football game days on Sundays and Mondays and whatever else, whatever other nights or days that they play, and that's that. Like, it's very common. And I think it's only going to become more common across the NFL where, especially if the Browns go through with this, other teams in the division are going to be looking around. And the Bengals seem like the next team up to have to go through a stadium situation. And they're going to be saying, like, okay, well, where can we go to build a new stadium that also has a lot of the you know, the excess that teams are looking for and that the NFL is looking for in these facilities nowadays to, you know, meet what the Browns just did in Cleveland. Like, they can become almost like a gold standard for this division. They can become the gold standard in the NFL in terms of these facilities. And I just think it's silly that we have people trying to sort of push back against it like a wave from preventing that progress from happening in the same way that Daryl's talked about and Ken talked about and others have talked about. 216-474-0092. If you want to get in on this, we are going to play you in a minute here just the comments from County Executive Chris Ronayne, who had a press conference today to sort of address the stadium situation and sort of elaborate a little bit more on the letter that the county put out yesterday. Let's get you that clip. Here's what he had to say at that press conference today in terms of why they are against the Brook Park project that the Browns are proposing. Did he really say this dog doesn't hunt? Is that really what he said there? Oh, my Lord. That was painful. Trying to squeeze in the dog puns for the Cleveland Browns while you're delivering this message about why you're not in support of this beautiful facility that the Browns are proposing. That was bad. Super cringeworthy, that line in particular. But you heard the message there. The message is, and listen, I understand where, and on some level, like, you're thinking ahead. You're thinking about the future and what it means for taxpayers. And if they're sort of running their numbers and their math doesn't math in terms of, hey, we don't think that this facility and the neighboring mixed-use development that's going to pop up with it are going to help fund the bonds and help pay that stuff off. I get what they're saying in that regard, where they're trying to think sort of ahead on that. But I guess my follow-up to that is, you don't think that, or you're worried about that, but you're not worried about spending the taxpayers' dollars on a facility, like I said, that is aging by the day and is going to need another renovation, probably upwards of $1 billion in 15 years when it continues to age. Like, what? So I understand what you're saying. Like, there's always risk involved when you do these types of projects, when you do these types of things. It's never just like a clear cut okay, we're definitely going to see everything that we're expecting, or the projections are going to hit 100%. I think, you know, as they're clearly explaining that in their conversations as city officials, as county officials, that's something that they're worried about, and I understand. But in the same breath, like, to dump more money into that stadium downtown and then know that you're just going to continue to keep paying into it down the line. I know the city said they wanted to have another 30-year lease. Everybody keeps saying that the 30-year lease isn't really a realistic possibility because the stadium isn't going to last that long. So what's, like, you're putting lipstick on a pig. I understand where you got to sort of look through these things and think through these things. It's not an easy process. It's not an easy, you know, it's not just like this cut and dry, let's make a decision and go. And that's why the Haslams have been hesitant about just like naming officially what they're going to do. But I still say, like, they spent all the money on the renderings and all that. Like, of course, that's the direction that this is heading at some point here, whether or not they have support or not from the county. But it takes time. I get that. You got to iron this stuff out. But in the name of being fiscally responsible in terms of the city, in terms of the county, in terms of the taxpayer, which is the phrasing that they're using, I just have a hard time understanding how it's not fiscally responsible to invest in a new property that hopefully generates revenue and all of that you're looking for, but not invest in invest in a stadium that is deteriorating regularly and continues to just be it's an eyesore, not in terms of like the skyline. Like, I think it adds something of intrigue along the lakefront there. I think it's cool that it is downtown, and I've always said that, and I understand the tradition there, but that's not enough to not want to, you know, do something that gets you on path towards being futuristic in the way that you're thinking and think ahead on these types of things, these types of projects. It's frustrating that it's become now this war of words. And I'm assuming it still ends with the Brook Park project getting done, because it seems like no matter what, like, they're going to, the Haslams and the Browns are going to buck against all the whatever the local governments are saying, and they're going to try to find a way to get this done. But the worst thing that could happen, which is, you know, something that has been talked about a little bit, I think, by Daryl, is just like, okay, you're not going to play ball with us. Well, then we are going to take the team to a different – we're going to take it out of Cuyahoga County then, and then you're more than 15 minutes down the road, and we'll find somebody who will play ball with us. And that's the thing that you're trying to avoid. Like, this – I'm not going to say it's history repeating itself, because I don't think the Browns are going anywhere. The Haslams seem committed to keeping the team here, obviously, and they're investing in – even out here in Berea, the facility around us here in Berea, they're investing in. So I don't think the team's going anywhere. But when you give an ownership group in this sort of situation no choice, like, what are they supposed to do other than look for other options that might include looking in a different county to build this stadium? It's just, this is all very silly and contrived at this point, and I just can't wrap my head around. Like I mentioned to Ken, it feels like there's been this gradual sort of step-by-step process where the fans have even come around on the idea. Because I understand in the early stages of this conversation, it was very much the tradition kept being touted. It was, we've always been on the lakefront. Browns football is meant to be played outside in that stadium where it is. I want the stadium downtown. You know, it means a lot for downtown, all these different things. Fine. I get that. As time has gone on, and as we just got the renderings of what this thing could look like last week, I have gradually seen more and more fans kind of come to the side of, I think the stadium, the new dome facility is the way to go. And it's kind of been just like this wave that's slowly built to where we are now, where I think the majority of the fan base will tell you that's what they want. So on behalf of the taxpayers, like, I understand that they got to think fiscally responsibly. But if the taxpayers are telling you what they think is the right way to go, and the fans, like, I think it's very disingenuous for the county and the city to tout like how the Browns are the heart and soul of the fan base and the heart and soul of this city and this and just the people that live here in Northeast Ohio, and then sort of spit in the face of what the fans seem to be telling you. And maybe I'm wrong. Like, if I took a straw poll right now and I went around to every neighborhood in Cleveland and tried to sample people to get a sense of, like, where they think the stadium should go and got, you know, as many Browns fans as possible to chime in on this, maybe I would be proven wrong and the majority of fans would tell you, okay, we actually think it should stay downtown. But the wave of people that I've heard from, both here at the station, on social media, and conversations that I've had with people just out and about, family members, friends, whatever, people seem to be getting more and more on board with the idea that this dome facility will be a good thing for Northeast Ohio. And look, the projections might not be perfect. There's always risk involved, like I said. But this is this puts Cleveland on the map as a place to do so much more than they're already doing and maximize the possibilities of events coming into town. I don't know how anybody would be against it unless you're just going to tout the tradition. And I think that is a just an absolutely childish, pearl to grasp and cling on to save the team from being brought out of downtown. And I do want to remind people, too, the economy, the economic impact of the stadium downtown, I get it exists. But I was reminded, several months ago, the number of Browns games in a season, 8 or 9 games, right, plus if you host a playoff game, which obviously has never happened in that stadium, it's about 3% of the days in a year that we're talking about here. If the city is so dependent on 3% of the days of the year, that, economic boom that comes with that, then they got bigger problems and they got bigger fish to fry anyway. So I and the whole talk of like legacies and stuff, let's get to that coming back actually, because that's the other part of this is there's a legacy play for the mayor. There's a legacy play for the Haslams. They don't want to be seen as the team, the ownership moving the Browns again. And I think city officials don't want to be seen as the group that lost the Browns again. But I think, again, that's another childish aspect of these conversations, because nobody has to lose the Browns and nobody has to take the Browns. It's staying in Cuyahoga County in Northeast Ohio, 15 minutes down the road. This is really not the end of the world when you really talk about it. We'll also play that clip from Ken, who obviously had the commentary this morning about when he drove into the stadium this weekend and just his kind of thoughts on things. 216-474-992 if you want to jump in. Also on X at Spencito _. We'll be right back from Browns training camp right here on 92.3 The Fan. We also, before practice, we heard from Kevin Stefanski, and he did drop the nugget that Deshaun is expected to play in that third preseason game, which it's noteworthy that he's finally saying it. I think that pretty much the consensus, especially for most of the hosts here at the station, has been that Deshaun's probably going to play in that third preseason game because that's what they did last year. So the way his progress will kind of go here, and unfortunately fans are here today, only one more open practice after this, but he will be participating in the joint practices very heavily the next couple days with the Vikings on Wednesday and Thursday. That kind of serves as his preseason game this week. Won't play Saturday, and then they'll have the lead into that third preseason game where he will be out there, I'm assuming, with most of, if not all of, the number one offense, the first team offense against the Seattle Seahawks. Which I don't know how many people are going to stay up for that game, even though Deshaun's going to play, but the 10 p.m. kickoff ain't going to be great. Let's just be honest. So Brown's going to give us a reason to have to stay up late on that night to watch this team. 216-474-992, talking heavy about the stadium here. I want to real quick play you the clip from this morning, Ken and Lima talking about the potential stadium and how Ken sort of driving to the stadium on Saturday on the lakefront, he kind of had an epiphany in regards to, what the issues are and why the dome makes some sense. And then we're going to get to you guys on the phones here. Here's what Ken and Lima had to say this morning.
So I'm pulling in. I'm going down East 9th. You get down there. And I didn't realize they were doing this construction, like, by the Rock Hall. And I'm, like, driving around. I go, man, that's a pain in the ass. And, like, before, things that I would just accept and just, like, that's getting there. Now that I saw the rendering of the new stadium, I go, we got to get out of here. Okay, we got to get the hell out of here.
Can I say one thing, though? Obviously, I'm used to our game day experience. I think many people have a similar game day experience. Like, I've always gotten off on East 9th. I park over here in our garage, and I walk. And most of the football season, that's a fun, nice walk. You got Browns fans everywhere. You start seeing people you know. It's good weather for most of the season. And we have had some bad weather. But I enjoy that walk. It makes me feel, as someone who's not downtown nearly as much as I used to be, I kind of like seeing that.
Lima has a point with the walk. Like, it's fun to sort of, I said the other day, nothing spoke to me more that Browns football was back than seeing the vendors selling the orange shirts that said F around and find out. That was the ultimate sign to me that Browns football was back in the air, was the people selling the very vulgar shirts on the walk back from the station to the stadium for kickoff. But listen, I get what Lima's saying, and I get that certainly plays into the whole tradition concept, and it's always been this way. And change is always hard. I totally understand that from a fan base. But if the difference between, you know, changing to the point where we're moving the team 15 minutes down the road to Brook Park and getting this state-of-the-art dome and moving them out of the county altogether, like, if that's the big difference here, I'll take the team 15 minutes down the road if it means that they're not just going to be downtown. I just think it's you know, it's progress. And I hate the fact that we're seeing, it seems like, so much pushback in the name of progress from our state and city officials or our local officials, who I know, like I said, I get it. They got to think fiscally responsible for the state, for their area, for the taxpayers. I just have a hard time understanding how it's fiscally responsible to dump more money into a stadium that's deteriorating by the day. Let's go to the phones, get your guys' thoughts on this. Are you backing me on the fact that I think the fan base has all kind of gravitated more now towards the dome in Brook Park? Or are you still holding out hope that the team gets to stay downtown? We start off Thomas in Shaker. You're first in the fan. What's up, Thomas?
What's up, Spencer? First of all, you always do a good job. I always appreciate you.
Thank you.
Honestly, I think if you were to ask most people in everybody's perfect world, what everybody would want is a dome downtown. I'm pretty sure that's everybody's perfect world. But it sounded like that. I listened to Baskin and Phelps earlier. They said that their guests said that they tried to do it downtown, but to have them deem that there wasn't enough space or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so I'll say this real quick, Thomas. Like, in the letter they put out last week with all the details, they mentioned the fact that they did explore other options, including stuff downtown, but it doesn't seem like there's not enough land available to do something like that in a new space, build a dome, do everything that they wanted to do. And so there is definitely some truth to that. But I agree with you that, like, in an ideal world, I think fans would want a dome downtown.
Yeah, so if since it's not an ideal world and we're going to have to compromise, I was against Brook Park, but I kind of came around to the fact that Brook Park really isn't that bad, especially when you consider everything that could go into this, especially considering the fact that they want to put this much money into it and they got other investors into it. So obviously other billionaires see the vision of this project, and they see how this project could grow the city. You know, this project could have major positive ramifications across the whole county, man. This is just impeding a progress for impeding a progress for no reason in Cleveland. And it's the same old story. And history, if you look at history the correct way, every single time Cleveland impeded their own progress, people went other places and did it other places. So let's not let that happen again.
Yeah, and to your point, Thomas, and I appreciate the call as always, my man. Thank you very much. I understand where one of the arguments against the stadium that people keep going back to is, well, there's nothing in Brook Park. The point of this is that they would bring stuff to Brook Park. You'd have the stadium there. You'd have these other spaces in the mixed-use development that people could use, and it's supposed to be this economic boom of some sort for the area. And then who knows what that means for, like, expanding beyond the parameters of just this project. You have the airport close by. There's literally, what, one hotel, I think, right now at the airport. I know the Sheraton's not too far up 480, but it's like, you don't have the spaces, and this gives you that. I know at one point I heard this was more rumors than reports, but I had heard rumors that, like, maybe they build something that connects you from the airport to this facility if it were to be built. So I just think, like, I think the spaces would get used. And listen, you got to run your projections. You got to figure out the math on these things. But I have a hard time believing, like, there wouldn't be more to come off of this project that would benefit the community. So to just say, like, well, there's nothing in Brook Park, I think that's a stupid argument, because guess what? There was nothing in Foxborough where the Patriots were play their football games until the Patriots built their stadium out there and now have since built this massive development around it. Let's go to Jay. You're up next to the fan. What's up, Jay?
Right.
Jay, you there?
Yeah. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, I'm looking at a map of Cleveland, you will see if they go ahead and move – the Stadium down to East 9th, between East 9th and Wolfstein, and between Chester and Prospect, they can put the stadium right there. You got to tear all them buildings down. The only thing they have to do is get rid of the cemetery.
And then all right, you have Jay.
A, yeah. Then you have a complex that has all four things in it. You have a baseball, football, basketball, and a secondary sports complex at the Wolfstein.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Jay. I don't know if that space is quite big enough for the stadium project that the Haslams want to build and a dome stadium at that. I mean, I'm just truthfully, like I know generally where he's talking about this. I'm assuming he's referring to kind of the cemetery that's near Progressive Field there, and you'd have them all close by. Jay, if you want to go pitch this idea, I think it's fine if you want to try. I'm guessing that they've explored all their options downtown, and that one wouldn't be viable like many of the others that they looked into. Back to the phones, Mark in Westlake. What's up, Mark?
Well, hi. I tend to agree with the county executive. I'm surprised he hasn't come forward until this point. Of course, he represents the county, including Brook Park, but there are other bigger financial interests going on here. And if there weren't, the Cavs would still be playing in Richfield, and the Guardians would still be in Art Modell's stadium. Look, the economic viability of downtown Cleveland is the primary concern of the mayor, of course, and the county executive, who represents the whole county. And we understand Jimmy Haslam's development ambitions around Book Park. Maybe he wants to build casinos or whatever entertainment that has nothing to do with the Browns. But there was not room to build Gateway in the beginning. They made room. The bulldozers came in, and Gateway has now transformed what was a slum and full of dubious bars and things. Now is an economic gem.
All right. Mark, I apologize, man. We're up against it for a break, so I got to let you go. So, Mark, one of the people who I guess is still pushing back against the Brook Park thing, and I'm going to be honest, Mark kind of sounded like he was trying to, like, disguise his voice, like he worked for the county. And he was calling in on behalf of them. I will tell you guys, though, he mentioned Chris Ronayne not being out publicly until now. We will actually hear from Chris Ronayne here on the show. 4 p.m., he's set to join us. We'll have Daryl Ryder jump in with us for that conversation as well. When we get back from this break, though, we pivot away from the stadium conversation a little bit. Now, I did talk to Juan Thornhill about the stadium situation, so you'll hear from him next about the stadium, about his second season with the Browns, and much, much more. Keep it locked. It's Spencer German with you here on The Fan. We also, before practice, we heard from Kevin Stefanski, and he did drop the nugget that Deshaun is expected to play in that third preseason game, which it's noteworthy that he's finally saying it. I think that pretty much the consensus, especially for most of the hosts here at the station, has been that Deshaun's probably going to play in that third preseason game because that's what they did last year. So the way his progress will kind of go here, and unfortunately fans are here today, only one more open practice after this, but he will be participating in the joint practices very heavily the next couple days with the Vikings on Wednesday and Thursday. That kind of serves as his preseason game this week. Won't play Saturday, and then they'll have the lead into that third preseason game where he will be out there, I'm assuming, with most of, if not all of, the number one offense, the first team offense against the Seattle Seahawks, which I don't know how many people are going to stay up for that game, even though Deshaun's going to play, but the 10 p.m. kickoff ain't going to be great. Let's just be honest. So Brown's going to give us a reason to have to stay up late on that night to watch this team. 216-474-992, talking heavy about the stadium here. I want to real quick play you the clip from this morning. Ken and Lima talking about the potential stadium and how Ken sort of driving to the stadium on Saturday on the lakefront. he kind of had an epiphany in regards to, you know, what the issues are and why the dome makes some sense. And then we're going to get to you guys on the phones here. Here's what Ken and Lima had to say this morning.
So I'm pulling in. I'm going down East 9th. You get down there. And I didn't realize they were doing this construction, like, by the Rock Hall. And I'm, like, driving around. I go, man, it's a pain in the ass. And, like, before, things that I would just accept and just, like, oh, that's getting there. Now that I saw the rendering of the new stadium, I go, we got to get out of here.
Okay,
we got to get the hell out of here.
Can I say one thing, though? Obviously, I'm used to our game day experience. I think many people have a similar game day experience. Like, I've always gotten off on East 9th. I park over here in our garage, and I walk. And most of the football season, that's a fun, nice walk. You got Browns fans everywhere. You start seeing people you know. It's good weather for most of the season. And we have had some bad weather. But I enjoy that walk. It makes me feel, as someone who's not downtown nearly as much as I used to be, I kind of like seeing that.
Lima has a point with the walk. Like, it's fun to sort of, I said the other day, nothing spoke to me more that Browns football was back than seeing the vendors selling the orange shirts that said F around and find out. That was the ultimate sign to me that Browns football was back in the air, was the people selling the very vulgar shirts on the walk back from the station to the stadium for kickoff. But listen, I get what Lima's saying, and I get that certainly plays into the whole tradition concept, and it's always been this way, and change is always hard. I totally understand that from a fan base, but if the difference between, you know, changing to the point where we're moving the team 15 minutes down the road to Brook Park and getting this state-of-the-art dome and moving them out of the county altogether, like, if that's the big difference here, I'll take the team 15 minutes down the road if it means that they're not just going to be downtown. I just think it's, you know, it's progress. And I hate the fact that we're seeing, it seems like, so much pushback in the name of progress from our state and city officials or our local officials who, I know, like I said, I get it. They got to think fiscally responsible for the state, for their area, for the taxpayers. I just have a hard time understanding how it's fiscally responsible to dump more money into a stadium that's deteriorating by the day. Let's go to the phones, get your guys' thoughts on this. Are you backing me on the fact that I think the fan base has all kind of gravitated more now towards the Dome and Brook Park? Or are you still holding out hope that the team gets to stay downtown? We start off Thomas in Shaker. You're first in the fan. What's up, Thomas?
What's up, Spencer? First of all, you always do a good job. I always appreciate you.
Thank you.
Honestly, I think if you were to ask most people in everybody's perfect world, everybody would want is a Dome downtown. I'm pretty sure that's everybody's perfect world. But it sounded like that. I was listening to Baskin and Phelps earlier. They said that their guest said that they tried to do it downtown, but to have them deem that there wasn't enough space or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so I'll say this real quick, Thomas. Like, in the letter they put out last week with all the details, they mentioned the fact that they did explore other options, including stuff downtown, but it doesn't seem like there's not enough land available to do something like that in a new space, build a dome, do everything that they wanted to do. And so there is definitely some truth to that. But I agree with you that, like, in an ideal world, I think fans would want a dome downtown.
Yeah, so if since it's not an ideal world and we're going to have to compromise, I was against Brook Park, but I kind of came around to the fact that Brook Park really isn't that bad, especially when you consider everything that could go into this, especially considering the fact that they want to put this much money into it and they got other investors into it. So obviously other billionaires see the vision of this project and they see how this project could grow the city. You know, this project can have major positive ramifications across the whole county, man. This is just impeding a progress for impeding a progress for no reason in Cleveland. And it's the same old story. And history, if you look at history the correct way, every single time Cleveland impeded their own progress, people went other places and did it other places. So let's not let that happen again.
Yeah, and to your point, Thomas, and I appreciate the call as always, my man. Thank you very much. I understand where one of the arguments against the stadium that people keep going back to is, well, there's nothing in Brook Park. The point of this is that they would bring stuff to Brook Park. You'd have the stadium there. You'd have these other spaces in the mixed-use development that people could use, and it's supposed to be this economic boom of some sort for the area. And then who knows what that means for, like, expanding beyond the parameters of just this project. You have the airport close by. There's literally, what, one hotel, I think, right now at the airport. I know the Sheraton's not too far up 480, but it's like you don't have the spaces, and this gives you that. I know at one point I heard some, like, this was more rumors than reports, but I had heard rumors that, like, maybe they build something that connects you from the airport to this facility if it were to be built. So I just think, like, I think the spaces would get used. And you got to run your projections. You got to figure out the math on these things. But I have a hard time believing, like, there wouldn't be more to come off of this project that would benefit the community. So to just say, like, well, there's nothing in Brook Park, I think that's a stupid argument, because guess what? There was nothing in Foxborough where the Patriots were play their football games until the Patriots built their stadium out there and now have since built this massive development around it. Let's go to Jay. You're up next to the fan. What's up, Jay?
Right.
Jay, you there?
Yeah. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, I'm looking at the – if you look at Google Maps, if you look at a map of Cleveland, you will see if they go ahead and move – the stadium down to East 9th, between East 9th and Woolstein, and between Chester and Prospect, they can put the stadium right there. You got to tear all them buildings down. The only thing they have to do is get rid of the cemetery.
And then all right,
you have
Jay.
A, yeah. Then you have a complex that has all four things in it. You have a baseball, football, basketball, and a secondary sports complex at the Woolstein.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Jay. I don't know if that space is quite big enough for the stadium project that the Haslams want to build and a dome stadium at that. I mean, I'm just truthfully, like, I know generally where he's talking about this. I'm assuming he's referring to kind of the cemetery that's near Progressive Field there, and you'd have them all close by. Jay, if you want to go pitch this idea, I think it's fine if you want to try. I'm guessing that they've explored all their options downtown, and that one wouldn't be viable like many of the others that they looked into. Back to the phones. Mark in Westlake. What's up, Mark?
Well, hi. I tend to agree with the county executive. I'm surprised he hasn't come forward until this point. Of course, he represents the county, including Brook Park, but there are other bigger financial interests going on here. And if there weren't, the Cavs would still be playing in Richfield, and the Guardians would still be in Art Modell's stadium. Look, the economic viability of downtown Cleveland is the primary concern of the mayor, of course, and the county executive, who represents the whole county. And we understand Jimmy Haslam's development ambitions around Brook Park. Maybe he wants to build casinos or whatever entertainment that has nothing to do with the Browns. But there was not room to build Gateway in the beginning. They made room. The bulldozers came in, and Gateway has now transformed what was a slum and full of dubious bars and things. Now is an economic gem.
All right. Mark, I apologize, man. We're up against it for a break, so I got to let you go. So, Mark, one of the people who I guess is still pushing back against the Brook Park thing, I'm going to be honest, Mark kind of sounded like he was trying to, like, disguise his voice, like he worked for the county and he was calling in on behalf of them. I will tell you guys, though, he mentioned Chris Ronay not being out publicly until now. We will actually hear from Chris Ronay here on the show. 4 p.m., he's set to join us. We'll have Daryl Ryder jump in with us for that conversation as well. When we get back from this break, though, we pivot away from the stadium conversation a little bit. Now, I did talk to Juan Thornhill about the stadium situation, so you'll hear from him next about the stadium, about his second season with the Browns, and much, much more. Keep it locked. It's Spencer German with you here on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.